Thank you, Archdeacon Stephen, for inviting me to speak here today and for the invitation, and thank you all for being here. And I'll move around like this. My name is Adele. I grew up in the traditional territory of the Red Cedar Band of the Shiawassee Chippewas, and now live in the Wag Creek watershed in the traditional territory of the Squamish Mother of the Wind people. The thoughts that I bring to you today come, I was a writer before I worked with the Primates World Relief and Development Fund, and my writing developed through that work, through community life in an inner city Toronto church, and overseas life in the Church of West Malaysia, and then in the National Church and with the Primates World Relief and Development Fund. So the things that I feel that have come to me as a writer, as reflecting on scripture, are the things that have been in Living in the Edge, which some of you have been looking at through Advent. I grew up in a country church. Yours is a country church in a city. Mine was a country church in a country, in the country. And I was in the fifth generation of farmers in a farming community. There were many borders and margins in our farm and forest land. The forest had a sugar bush in it that my father made maple syrup in. And I've since learned that those borders and margins are called edge habitats by biologists. Actually, they now have a new term for it, ecotone. Ecotone is the new word. An edge habitat is the space, the biological space between two ecosystems, like an estuary or a hedgerow. We had a lot of hedgerows. Biologically, more species live in that space than in either of the ecosystems on either side. So it's a whole lot of possibility and life in that place where nobody is quite in the space where they're meant to be. There are questions of identity and what do I do? Who am I in this space? What is the physical place that comes to your mind when you picture an edge habitat? I don't need an out loud answer. I just want you to think of what picture is there. How many of you have a picture of an edge habitat in your mind? Yeah. Mine is of a field with a plowed field. And then there's this edge habitat, and then there's the woods. And it's that in-between space that I'm talking about. So, and we've noticed, my husband and I, that the artwork that we have on our walls, probably 80% of it are pictures of edge habitat. There are sometimes roads going into woods, or a gate, or a landscape with a river, or an estuary. So they bring us some sort of peace, and like we know, this is important to us to keep these in our attention. But they're also places of great vulnerability. Precarity is a word that gets used in statistics, but it also gets used in social justice kinds of places to describe the precarious existence or the unpredictability of life, job, and welfare of many people and of many animals. Life is both glorious and precarious in edge habitat. In a receptive, reflective moment, edge habitat came to me as a picture, almost an icon of times in life when things are turned inside out and upside down, when things will not be the same again. I see some knowing looks already in the congregation, so you know some of those times in your life. They probably, well, for sure they happened this past week with the windstorm. But I was in Nanaimo where we had to be very careful about the water. And trees were down right outside in the yard. But there are larger things. What kinds of things happen to us that were never the same again? Births. Mothers and fathers, when they have their first child, things are never the same again, and you never expect what it will bring, or both in terms of joy and sorrow. Death, marriage, finding and losing jobs, fleeing from a country. I know that your church has been involved in welcoming refugees, moving to a new place ourselves. Health issues. The idea of Edge Habitat made sense for me in my personal life to help me understand that it was a place and that God was in that place. It also helped me understand living in a precarious inner city neighborhood, to understand that we were all there and weren't quite sure how to act with one another, what to be and who we were. And it also helped me understand, and the staff understand at PWRDF, about the resilient, impoverished, peacemaking, war-torn places where PWRDF partners live and work, and from whom we learned so much about living in Edge Habitat. And Advent is an Edge Habitat time. The space between ordinary time and Christmas in the church calendar. Mary's ninth month of pregnancy, when Jesus is an amphibious creature. He's not the Jesus that we usually talk about. He is in the womb, being entirely surrounded by amniotic fluid, waiting in the crowded space under her heart, and he hears the surge of a song coming from Elizabeth, and then the song from his mother. He hears that within the womb. An extraordinary vision. An ancient song. It wasn't a new song to her. She probably learned it in the synagogue and in her family because Hannah sang it first. An ancient song of putting things right in the world. And somehow Mary knew that that was the song she needed to sing. So how do we hear that song in precarious times when we do not know how things will turn out? It's not, they will turn out somehow, and they may turn out badly or well, and we know we're in for a real ride with climate change, to say the least. How do we live in these kinds of times? So I think I have three things to say today to that question. First of all, Paul says in Colossians 1:27 that the mystery hidden through all the ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is within and among us. We are God bearers, just as Mary was. She bore Jesus the Christ, God with us, and so do we. Like Mary, we have a song to sing and a role to play that are uniquely ours in bringing about the kingdom of God. Mary saw that kingdom. The Creator's community of life, which doesn't just include us humans, but all of creation. And as you've been considering over Advent, part of that task, our task in bringing about the kingdom, is to find the intersection of the deepest part of ourselves and the deepest gladness that we have, and the deep hunger of the world. Where do they intersect? Neither are easy to find in our noisy, digital-driven world. Now, theology is not just for clergy or people who go to seminary, but theology is for all of us. What about God is the question. And to be practicing theologians, as mostly lay people here, we need to hold our experience of life with the words of scriptures and let them roll around and cook and sit in our souls so that we understand them and allow them to grow from the inside out. So the first thing I want to say is that Christ is within and among each of us. And it is our hope and it is our glory. Secondly, I want to say that one of the best ways to find Christ within is to simply be still and hear the gospel. Hear the words of Jesus in the gospel. Not to analyze it, but to let it be present to you and to speak to you and to speak to us together in this place. Now, I just realized as I counted up on the bulletin, I'm going to read the gospel and we're going to take some time to just be quiet and let the gospel speak to us. But I'm aware that if I do that, this will be the fifth time that you will have heard the gospel. So I'm going to take the earlier part of the gospel, Elizabeth's words, because the gospel, whatever gospel it is, speaks to us. And it was wonderful hearing it in different translations. I guess I've heard it about 10 or 12 times today already, haven't I? And then we sang it to practice it. So, sit back in your pew with both feet on the floor, please. And if you have something in your hands, set it down. And I would ask you to close your eyes and I will guide you through listening to the gospel to see if we can hear it in a new way and to begin to understand how we might hear the Spirit moving within us. Sit back in the pew, both feet on the ground, close your eyes, and become aware of your breathing. Simply be aware of breathing in and out. You do not have to think of anything else but to be aware of your breathing. And if there are things rattling around in your mind, as you breathe out, let them go. You can pick them up after the service. And as you breathe in, become aware of the life of God within you. That breath that goes throughout your whole body, bringing life to it. And as you're still and present, listen to this gospel. And I'm going to ask you the question afterwards, what words or phrases stood out for you? In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. What word or phrase did you hear? What stood out for you?
Mary.
Mary.
And Jesus.
And Jesus. Each of you will have a word or phrase that somehow spoke to you. Sit with it for a few seconds and just say that word silently to yourself. You can open your eyes. When a word stands out to you, or when something catches your attention that says, "Look at me," it might be well to understand it as the Spirit speaking to you, if you are seeking God. And in this case, in the gospel, if there's a word or a phrase or an interchange between people, hold it there. Hold it with you. And take it through your day and repeat it. But as you hold it, pay attention to it, say it out loud, and ask what it is saying to you. That word wants to speak to you. You've had that experience in nature where it feels like God is saying something to you in nature. And the gospel can do that. Over time, if you pay attention to what's happening inside yourself as you hear the gospel, you will find your way to the deepest joy and gladness of your life, because Christ within will lead you there. And then carry that word into the day, into your day. Hold it up and turn it around. Carry it into day and speak about it to somebody. Ask someone what they think about it. The life of Christ among us and among the people in our world will help us find our way together. The life of Christ within you will lead you to the hunger in the world that your gladness is meant to meet. So my second point is to read the gospel as you are still and ask three questions. What speaks out to me here? What is it saying to me? And the third question is, what is the gospel calling me to do? And these questions are part of gospel-based discipleship encouraged by Indigenous leadership in our church. The third thing I want to say is that I think my particular song to sing in this ninth month of Mary's pregnancy, and your songs will be different, is that not only do we bear the Christ within, but we ourselves are planted in Mother God. She bears us in our womb, in her womb. And we will be born anew with Christ. Today's bulletin has a picture of Mary singing the Magnificat. We often see the heart of Mary, the burning heart of Mary. But here, the fire is in her belly. Jesus the Christ is within. We need to seek God in stillness, to be open to knowing Christ's presence within us and among us, and we need to be deeper people. We need to trust the gospel for today, that it will say something to each of us and to all of us together about what the Spirit is calling us to be and do in transitional times. We bear God within us, and God bears us. Let us pray. Implant us in you, Mother God, that we may be born anew with Christ. Amen.